Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Chris James.
I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And I'm Chris James.
And we continue with our very exciting series on Fear Not. Today we have a topic that I think is very relevant, is fear not sudden storms. Is when a storm comes and you were not expecting it, and it catches you by surprise. Mm-hmm. But you were going to tell us something about your childhood before we started.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I had a lot of allergies. I still do, but I was sick all the time. Mm-hmm. And my dad is a pastor, and he was young in the ministry at the time and didn't know how to find another church to go to. Mm-hmm. So he had found a place actually up in Montana, a little small church. He's going to be self-supporting. Yeah.
So there was
no money from the denomination or anything to give to him. Mm. So it was all just whatever came.
Yes.
And, you know,
somehow
we always had enough. Mm. I mean, it was never more than enough, mm-hmm, because the cupboard would be empty, you know, of groceries, and we didn't know we were going to eat the next meal. Wow. There'd be a knock on the door, and somebody would have brought over groceries. And one time the car, you know, broke down and we needed like $800 to fix it. That day, my dad got a check in the mail from some place he'd never heard of.
Wow.
With the money exact amount.
See, I believe that the children, and you have that experience as a child, that somehow God was going to take care of you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I wasn't scared at all, which now,
now
you
that
would
we
think
are.
I should have the faith because I have the experience, but I struggle with it.
Yes, and that happens a lot. See, when I was a little kid, we used to travel much because my dad was an evangelist. And I never worried, you know, where we were going, if we were going to get there, if there was a snowstorm on the way. I would sleep in the car because my dad was in charge, you know, and I knew God was guiding my dad. And, you know, I always think when we get into the story, maybe this is why Jesus was able to sleep in the boat in the middle of the storm, because his daddy was in charge, you know, and I love that. And for some reason, when we grow up, we kind of lose the childlike faith that we had, like, God's going to take care
of
me.
Because all of a sudden, it's like we're in charge, supposedly, of all these kids in this, you know, house. And, you know, we got to make a living for our spouse.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about this story that is registered in Matthew chapter 8. And we're doing it from Matthew's point of view. Other gospels give this story too, but we're going to concentrate on Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. And this is a sudden storm. They're in their boats. They're going to the other side. And don't forget, these are fishermen that are seasoned.
Oh, yeah. It's not like they haven't been on the lake before.
Exactly. So this is important to understand. And the Lake of Galilee had this problem, the Sea of Galilee, because it was 700 feet below sea level, that sometimes the sudden storms came, the way the winds came. But don't forget that they were
fishermen. They've experienced it before.
In the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, so they should have experienced the storms quite a few times.
So this is what happens. So let's start reading on verse 23, Chris.
Then he got into the boat, that is Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat.
Yeah, well, here we have the first side. See, we are given two realities here. Mm-hmm. Jesus' reality will be given later, but here we're given what they see. Yeah. And I how did your version say verse 24?
Mine says furious.
No, but without warning?
Without warning, yes.
Mm-hmm. See, actually the word is suddenly. That's why we have called this fear not sudden storms. It's like, you know, you're having a great evening with your family and the phone rings and the results are cancer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something you were not expecting.
Or that's a just car accident.
Or a car accident or something, nothing that you could have prepared for.
Right.
So this is what happened to them. They're having a quiet evening. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, suddenly, without warning, behold, says NASB, arose a great storm.
Yeah.
And Matthew will say, this is not ordinary storm.
Yeah.
This is not a storm like the disciples had been before.
Yeah. Mine says furious.
Furious. That's what
it is. And what is yours?
Mine says great storm, and I love the Greek. The Greek, as you know, great is mega. It says mega, and then he calls this sismos.
Ah.
It's the only gospel writer that calls this a sismos. It's like shaking of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
That is a mega shaking of the sea.
Yeah.
And he catches the disciples totally by surprise, and the boat is being covered by the waves. I mean, this is not, you know, a little storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard that. Have you heard about the Jesus boat?
I actually have. I watched like a National Geographic special or something on it at one time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a boat that they discovered from the first century, mm-hmm. that was buried under the whole thing in the Sea of Galilee. Yeah. And it now is in a museum in Ginosar. And since 1986, they found this little fishing boat from the first century. The actual dimensions are so small that you can really imagine, you know, this
how
thing.
How scared they must have been. Yeah. It wasn't a cruise ship.
No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, it was 8 meters long, 8.2, which is not that long at all. Then 2.3 the width, and then 1.2 meters. Yeah. So this is not a deep boat.
Yeah, like 4 feet deep or something like that.
Well, about. It's actually 4 feet. And it would have been overcrowded with 12 people plus Jesus, 13 mm-hmm. people, just on a regular calm day.
Yeah.
So you imagine in a mega seismos, mm-hmm. they're all going crazy. And then at the end of the verse that you just read, we have a whole different reality.
After the but.
Yes.
But Jesus was sleeping.
Yeah. See, he's like, isn't it crazy? He's like, oh, over here. And then... sleeping over here. And in purpose, Matthew makes this juxtaposition. Like there's two realities. One that the disciples are living, and the other one that Jesus knows about, that nobody seems to know about. Mm-hmm. And so we go on, and I think it's very funny and very, very important that they came to him. This is a role reversal because the fishermen are coming to the carpenter for advice on
the storm. That's a little messed up, isn't it?
Yeah, because you would think
it should
Jesus...
be the carpenter who's scared and the fishermen are like, hey, it's just
there's
another
storm. Yeah.
Relax.
Yes, but let's read the verse. It's very interesting. Verse 25.
The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown.
And he said to them,
ye of little faith, why are you so afraid?
Ouch. Well, isn't it obvious?
Ouch.
Why?
Yeah.
Because we're dying? Because we're perishing? Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at this verse for a moment. Verse 25, they came to him. We have the role reversal, the fisherman coming to the carpenter. They wake him up. So he's not even, you know.
Not
that he's anxious
out cold
or whatever. And the cry for help in Matthew, in the Greek, is very interesting because it's only three words. It's not like whole sentence like it says here. Mm-hmm. It sounds something like this. Lord, save, perishing. There's three words. You know, it's not like, could you please help? No, it's like they run out of options.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't know if you've been in a situation in your life where plan A, plan B, and plan C have all failed.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. And those are scary moments because you cry out to the Lord because you don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Has God answered you?
Every time. Every time. And I mean, it's not always in the way that you expect, but he's always there with us.
Yes.
In the boat.
Exactly. And that is the point, because God could have taken away the storm so that they didn't have to. But the storm was teaching them something about Jesus and about God and about the lack of control that we really have.
Yeah, and their lack of faith. And that's what, you know, it's always like, that's an ouch to me every time it says, you know, why are you so afraid? You know, why do you have so little faith? Because it's like he's proved to me, like since I was a kid, that he's there and he's going to take care of me.
So why do we keep doubting?
I still keep doubting.
Well, there's this part of it that is human nature, and this trust in him is you heard, is like a muscle that you exercise. I mean, my mother has died recently, and I tell you, I learned things about God lately that I never knew before because of the circumstance that I went through and the way it happened. And so Jesus is very interesting that he addresses their faith first.
Yeah.
You know, in Matthew, instead, I mean, I would have expected him to say, okay, stop the storm and let's have a talk.
Yeah.
No, they're all like barely walking. And
then the storm is still going on.
Yeah, and he's like, let's talk about your faith. And they can hear, what? You know, they can't hear. And so he addresses their faith first.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, your anxiety and your fear is an issue of faith.
Yeah.
And they're going like, well, could you please calm the sea and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah. And he's saying, why? Why are you so afraid? And they're like,
well,
can't you see? Hello. It's like, are you in the same world we are?
Exactly. And after he exposes that this is an issue of faith, that the fear in sudden storms is something that we have to turn to God because we have run out of options. And that's when we find that God is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, then Jesus decides to calm the storm. Yeah. And I love it because it's like he rebuked two misbehaving children.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way he does it here. Mm. Why don't you read what he does after he talked to them about their faith in verse 26.
Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm.
Yeah, it's like, shh, don't you see I'm taking a nap here? You know, that's what you would say to your kid.
Yeah.
I love the word rebuke because it's like, two children misbehaving. First the winds, then the sea.
Yes.
And immediately, it's like if you have two kids.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You have
and
two
I
children.
Have to rebuke them a lot.
I love your kids. They're so vivacious.
They have a lot of life. Yeah, yes, they're very vivacious.
And here Jesus goes, okay, shh, be calm, be quiet, mm-hmm. right? So the winds and the sea, they get calm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll do what you say. And at that moment, I just love this whole thing because the Greek says it became a mega calm.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a mega sismos.
Not just any calm.
No, a mega.
Mega
great
calm.
And you know, Matthew works a lot with the word sismos, a lot more than the other gospel writers do. He's the only one that tells us that there were three earthquakes. And he mentions when Jesus dies and mm-hmm. when Jesus resurrects. And he mentions another one. And then he talks about this storm as a sismos, as an earthquake. Matthew is the one that wants to show us the interventions of God on earth.
Yes.
That he's absolutely in control of all of our storms. So that's why he uses the sismos so much, that he actually has power over nature, demons, disease. Yeah,
because he is the creator of nature.
Yes.
He's the one that made it, so he's in charge of it.
Yes. See, I on my way over here to record, I was listening to this song that I love. My name is Lazarus. I don't know if you ever heard it.
I'm not sure.
But anyways, everybody's complaining that Jesus won't be able to heal this man. And then this man says, can I testify? And he says, my name is Lazarus. And everybody's like, stop stalking, right? And then he says, if you think your little problem, that he won't be able to solve it, let me tell you about my, you know, this is the type of thing. He has absolute control over everything. And so we're told here that they were amazed and they said, who is this? We've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
So sudden storms are scary, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah, they're very scary.
So what can we do to turn over to Jesus a little faster?
I think it has to be that we're turned over to him all the time.
Mm.
That, you know, if we're actually in connection with him, then when we have a sudden storm, it's not like we turn to him as a last resort. It's like we know he's already there, and all we have to do is say, now, Lord, reinforce my faith.
Yes.
You know,
the
help
three
my
words,
unbelief.
Lord, save, perishing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I have found out that when the storm is not too big, I tend to kind of trust in my resources.
Mm. Yes.
You know, but when the storm is very, very big and very, very sudden, it's I have to turn it over immediately because I can't even, I don't know where to start.
Yes.
You know, so when I'm facing death by a family member or cancer or a relationship problem that's just too big.
And there's something that we can't control.
At all. So those are easier for me now that I'm older
because
I'm going, hey, I don't even know where to start. So I'm going to say, God, this is yours.
Yeah.
And I'll put it in my prayer box as things for God to do. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
You know, I came to believe in this sentence, peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great definition because sometimes people think peace, the mega calm, the mega peace, is not to have any trouble.
Yeah,
but it's not. Mm-hmm. You can be in the middle of the storm and have the mega calm because Christ is with you. So let's repeat it. Peace is not the absence of trouble,
but the presence of Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter @Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.